Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 1. What I have done this morning is gone to one of my favorite scriptures, I guess because it speaks to me so well. We found out Thursday evening that Chris was... Thursday afternoon, I heard that, you know, we better be sure and have somebody to be a backup in case he wasn't going to be feeling well enough. And then later Thursday night, we found out, you better get somebody else to do it. So Robert and Paul and I tossed coins and I lost. No. Brother Paul has got a lot of stuff on his hands. He is without his house. He is persevering. He is thankful and realizing everything is from the hand of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for the way he's taking it. But they have a lot of things to do and not much time or space to do it in. I'm sharing my office with him, so I hope he hurries up and gets back home. Not really. But things are good. God is so good. I've already thanked the Lord for the worship we're already experiencing this morning. And Robert had Sunday school, so I get worship. When I retired a year ago, I misunderstood the word retired. I think now it means you get tired again. But anyway, God is good. I love to preach the Word when I can. I'm not able to preach a series. I'm not able to remember much past what I say, every statement. But I love the Word of God. Here in the second half of Romans chapter 1, we have God's revelation of Himself. He begins that in verse 16 and goes through verse 32. So I want to read that. And I'm not going to do it exactly the way I would do it many other times. But let us read it. And then we're going to mainly focus not so much on every detailed word, but on the structure. We do want to be sure that we stay with the content. We do want to get that. The content is absolutely important. But what I'm saying is, the structure is what I want you to grasp this time. I preached through the book of Romans and I didn't exactly do it this way, so I want to go back and do this. Verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, likened to an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are deserving or worthy of death. They not only do the same, but take pleasure in them that do them. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. We thank You for the worship we are already involved in. We bless You for the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the one true and only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is the one who gave Himself that we might have life. The Spirit is the one that brought that life to us, and the Father is the one that predestined and set up the whole plan that we might have life. Thank You for that life. We pray You'd help us to see that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, after we read verse 17 in this text, there's not much positive reading there. It gets to be pretty strongly negative, being because it is describing you and me before we were saved. It's describing human nature at its best. Depraved human nature. And what Paul does and what he is doing is giving us, first of all, in verses 16 and 17, the answer to the whole problem. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Amen. To everyone that believes.
Right.
Jew, Greek, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, male or female, you're all one only in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So He has given us the gist of special revelation in verses 16 and 17. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There may be many people who are. He says, I'm living in Rome, the center of the empire, where the might of the world is being placarded to the world and shown what real power and strength and might are. He said, but let me tell you, The real power is in the gospel.
That's right.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, and it is the power to salvation. But then in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. So what he's doing is he gave us special revelation and the truth of the gospel. And then verse 18 is connected to verse 16 and 17 by a little word called gar. Not an alligator gar. But the word gar in Greek is for. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And then in verse 17, for, because in it is revealed the righteousness of God. And that is the righteousness God has for men. For years, Martin Luther thought this, the righteousness of God meant how God is so holy and righteous and perfect. And that is true. But because of that, he put himself up against that righteousness of God, and he saw himself as a failure. And no matter what the Roman Catholic Church did for him, and no matter how many times they told him to crawl on his knees up the steps there in Rome to the Holy Father Pope, no matter how many times he said, Hail Mary, or whatever, he still didn't have peace with God.
Right.
And he thought the righteousness of God is just put there in order to drown me in despair. Until finally it dawned on him that the gospel, in it is revealed the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And that is, sinners repent and believe in Christ and are pronounced righteous before God.
That's right.
So the word for in verse 18 is explaining how great verses 16 and 17 are. I found the glorious gospel in Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness of God, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. That's what makes the gospel look so good, is the wrath of God put up beside it. And not one of us can escape the wrath of God by ourselves, or with the help of Aunt Margie, or with the righteousness of Grandma Jones, or any other way than through the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So, I want to outline these verses for you. And all these verses from verse 16 through verse 32, the Greek has five sentences. The first sentence is verses 16 and 17 together. That's one sentence. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The second sentence goes from verse 18 through verse 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And he goes on to say, because what may be known of God is manifest. Manifest and revelation are very similar words. God reveals, God manifests. In what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them.
Amen.
There is revelation from God in the things that are made.
That's right.
For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, but neither were thankful. They became vain. They professed themselves to be wise. They became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, etc. All of that is one sentence. And the sentence has, for the main verb, is revealed. The main noun is the wrath. The wrath of God is revealed. And then all of that describes the wrath of God. And it says why God reveals this. And it says that God Himself has showed them. And then it says, even the invisible things of God are seen. You've heard the statement of some scientists who say, you know, we got in a spaceship and we went to the moon and we went out and we looked at the universe and we came back and we never saw God. Well, brother, it's because you don't have eyes. The invisible things, the things that are not visible to our eyes, are revealed, manifest, because God Himself has showed it to them or in them.
There you go.
In their own conscience.
That's right.
So, verse 1, special revelation, two words, special revelation. Verses 16 and 17. Sentence 1. Sentence 2. General revelation. Revelation in history. Revelation in nature. Revelation inside man. Verse 24 and 25 tells us that in man's professing himself to be wise and becoming a fool and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, then it says, therefore, God gave them up. Now listen, put them together. God revealed His righteousness in the gospel through Jesus Christ as the means of the righteousness of God. Number two, God revealed His invisible characteristics to men and caused them to know there is a God, and He showed it to them and in them. And here's some of the things they did. They changed that into an image. And for that reason, God gave them up. That's sentence number three. Wherefore, God gave them up. You don't want God to give you up. God gave them up unto uncleanness first in verses 24 and 25. In 26, in response to what men have done with that revelation of His wrath, because of this, God gave them up unto vile affections. Not only their deeds, now their affections, their desires. You know, they have these mental images and these thoughts, and then when their heart goes out after those thoughts, that's affections. But before they ever act on them, they are affections. And then when they act, they are deeds. Well, He gave them up unto uncleanness to do the work of the hand. That's their hands. Now He gave them up in their affections, and then in verses 28 through 32, even as they did not like to keep or retain God in their knowledge, even in their mind, just in the thought. They didn't even want to keep the thought. Quit telling me about God, they were saying. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For that reason, God gave them over. Now, it's true in the Greek, the God giving them up is the same verb in all three verses. He delivered them over. He delivered them up. He delivered them up. But in verse 28, I think it is proper that they translate that, God gave them over there. Because not only their hands, what they do, and their affections, their desires, but now their hands, their desires, and their thoughts have gone aside. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Rejected, totally rejected, nothing of value in it. So, we have seen those five sentences. Number one, special revelation, the gospel. Number two, general revelation through all nature, inside man. The third sentence, therefore God gave them up. The fourth sentence, because of this, God gave them up. And the fifth sentence, even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. He just said, you've got it. That is the sentence structure of that passage. Now I want to go back and look at some of the main words used in this and try to grasp more of it. In verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. That is special, special, special revelation.
Amen.
The righteousness of God. What God has for men to be righteous is the gospel.
There you go.
It's pure and simple. Repent and believe. In Jesus Christ. He's your only hope.
Amen.
Young persons, today, this message is not just a thundering bouncing of the wrath of God around and playing games about the wrath of God. We want you to hear that even before God's Word goes into these descriptions of the wrath of God and the reason for the wrath of God, God is telling us, here is your answer. It's in the gospel.
Amen.
It's not in your works of righteousness. It's not in anything you have done. It's not in anything you haven't done. I don't do this, I don't do that, and I don't do the other. Well, that's fine. You're headed for hell without a Savior.
That's right.
But the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. So I ask you, I'm not going to plead, I'm just going to ask you, would you repent and believe in Christ right now? I'm not asking for hands. I'm not asking for you to come talk to me. I'm asking for you to go to Christ for righteousness. His righteousness, His perfect, sinless righteousness is the only thing that can be imputed to you for righteousness. And then His going to the cross and bearing what your sins deserve is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Excuse me. So, the righteousness of God is revealed. The wrath of God is revealed in all the creation. Under this, he says, what may be known of God. You see, there are some things that may not be known of God. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the things that are secret belong to the Lord our God. But those which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
Amen.
So, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. The wrath of God is revealed in all creation. And what may be known of God about His nature, He has showed to them. Even the invisible things, like His eternal power. It's not like any other power. It's not just that God has more power than most people. God has all power.
Amen.
And there is no power except the power that God decrees out. The eternal power and deity of God. He is Lord. He is God over all creation. He created it. He'll do with it that which He will. And He will have it to be holy, for He is holy. His law shows us what God is like, and it shows us what we must do to be like Him. And we find out we can't do that. And so the wrath of God is revealed. But these things are revealed everywhere. In the ceiling fan, in the lights, in the stone floors. In everything you see and hear, there is the voice of God telling you, I am God. I am everywhere. I know all, and I will be what I will be. And you need a Savior. And God's eternal deity, His Godhead, He is God. That's one of the first things that Calvin wanted us to learn in his institutes. We need to know God, and we need to know ourselves. And part of that is knowing that we ourselves are not God. There's a difference.
Right.
Now, those things are clearly seen. The invisible things are seen that bring about the wrath of God for our sins. He is a moral God, and we are utterly without excuse. That word is pretty interesting. It is anapologetos, which means on is a negative, A-N, and then apologetos is an apology. Without apologetics. So that the lost that see all these things and do not turn to God, they are without apologetic. They're without an apology. They cannot make up for it. They're without excuse. Why? Because even when they did know God, they didn't glorify Him as God. So this morning, I want you to think about that idea that your number one thing you need to do is glorify God. The chief duty of man, the chief end of man, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That secondary part is not an equivalent of the first. He doesn't want you to have fun and have God. He wants you to have God and thereby have fun. And then the last three sentences refer to men's response to God's revelation. How do they respond? They knew this about God. They clearly knew it. They understood it by the things that were made. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. That's what they did. They responded to God by, I'm going to make me a God. I need religion. I need to make me a God. Wrong. And when they went to make a corruptible image of something like men or birds or four-footed beasts or creeping things like serpents and crickets and roaches, people worship those things. And sometimes the most educated people worship the most ridiculous things.
Right.
And because men changed the glory of God for a creature, all kinds of stupid creatures, God gave them up to uncleanness to dishonor themselves. You dishonor me, I'm going to let you dishonor yourself. And he gave them up to it. And because they flourished under that, he gave them up to their vile affections. So that everything they wanted was wrong. They changed the truth of God for a lie. I'd rather have a lie than the truth of God. And that's what men are doing. They've always done it, and they always will, until the last day of this age. Then that'll be stopped. And all they'll be doing is enduring the penalty for their deeds. But then we have God's judgment for their response. He gave them over. And then man's response to the judgment is they changed that truth of God into a lie. And because of that, wherefore? God gave them up to vile affection. And those affections turned into where God created man to love a woman and to love her for life in the bonds of marriage. They tore that apart and said, I don't want a woman. I want a man. I want me and another man to have marriage. And a woman would want another woman to have marriage or even live outside the bonds of marriage in an unnatural love. It's just natural that men ought to marry women. A man ought to marry a woman. That's natural. That's what God made. Kids, don't go unnatural on us. Turn to Christ. Find out what true nature is really supposed to do. I know as young kids, sometimes 5 to 8 or 9 or 10, to the boys, girls are just, ooh. And girls are that way with boys. Oh, do I have to? Do I have to play with them? But along about 14 or 15, something happens. And they begin to think, you know, maybe I need to reconsider that. And that's the way God meant it. For you to seek and to find the one He would have you to love. Till death do you part.
Amen.
God gave them up to vile affections. Man's response to that, men and women exchanged all this natural love for the unnatural love. God's punishment for that was He gave them over to a reprobate mind. And that reprobate mind is described in verses 28b through 32. Just go back and read that. These are not the most morally sound people we've ever heard of. This is moral debauchery. And that's what God gives men over to when they've gone to this third degree of despising God. The Gentiles, Paul is describing the Gentiles and where they went. And then in chapter 2, he's going to move toward, and especially verse 17 and following, he's going to talk about the Jews also. You who say they are doing it wrong and you're doing the same thing, what do you think you're doing? And then chapter 3, all Jew, Gentile, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there again he says, being justified freely by His grace. Now, these things describe lost men. They describe Gentiles before they came to the gospel. They describe you and me. These are the things your mom and dad don't want to talk to you about how they were. I have a son that, Dad, you never did tell me about. I said, there's a second verse to that. I ain't never going to tell you about. It's not glorious. It's wicked. It's wrong. Just know that it was wrong and it got me in a mess. But God was rich in His mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, He made us alive together with Christ. We call you to the gospel. We preach the gospel to you, but only by grace. If the Spirit calls you, can you respond the right way?
Amen.
But we keep calling you. Come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Call upon Him. Find that grace. Find a hope to help in time of need.
Amen.
Find that grace that releases from the wrath, not only in this world, but in the world to come.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul was talking about both of those. Don't be given over to a reprobate mind.
Mm-hmm.
Go give yourself over to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Go call upon Him. We love you, kids. Some adults maybe don't know Christ. If you do, praise God for it. If you don't, call upon Him right now. Find the Savior of men while there's yet time. Today, while it's called today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come to Christ. Don't come to me. I can't do anything for you. I might show you something in Scripture, but I can't give you anything. I can show you Christ. But come to Christ. He'll set you free.
Amen.
Forever. Let's pray.